Good morning, and thank you for not withdrawing. You guys still here. I would say thank you to my professors Samira Daroub and Phil Busey, because of whom I am here today. And I will be presenting the result of my thesis for my master degree. Goosegrass has been suggested as a consequence of traffic cost compaction. And one of the indicators of soil compaction is a reduction on less pore space and low soil aeration. And one way to measure soil aeration is the oxygen diffusion rate, which has been proved that goosegrass can tolerate a very slow oxygen diffusion rate in the soil. But at the same time, we know that traffic can cause wear, which is indirectly injuring in the turfgrass tissue, and that can be an open door for goosegrass infestation too. So we are thinking that if compaction is the cause of goosegrass infestation, will be affecting differently the Bermuda grass and the goosegrass. So maybe reducing the Bermuda grass in a situation of compaction soil, and then the goosegrass can tolerate this situation and be prolific than the Bermuda grass. So the objective for this study was determining if goosegrass infestation occurred more often in traffic areas, characterize soil compaction levels in these traffic areas, and the third, examining the shoot and root growth of goosegrass compared with Bermuda grass under different levels of soil compaction. The first two objectives, we did a survey study in traffic areas of sport fields and golf courses. So in the case of sport fields, the design was a randomized complete block with six blocks, which were the full areas. It was two full areas for each field. And when we went to the field, we marked a rectangle area, 30 meters length for 9 meters wide, and we gridded in 3 meter by 3 meter cells. We marked a line from the dugout gate to the home plate, and we defined 3 meter on either side of this line as the traffic plot. So that give us like a 10 cells on the whole rectangle where the determined as the traffic plot, and the rest was defined as the non-traffic plot. Moving on the golf cart T, we have the same design, a randomized complete block, and we choose the T's to define the traffic and non-traffic plots. So we have five T's in three different golf courses. We define our traffic plot in the T slope close to the golf cart path, where all the golfers have to walk up into the T. So the opposite T slope was defined as the non-traffic plot. The data collected was plant number and goosegrass cover in quadrat in both cases, in the full areas and in the T slope. And soil compaction was measured with a soil penetrometer resistance, because soil penetration resistance can be very determined by water content. We took soil core sample to measure soil moisture in the soil. At the same time, we were taking the soil penetration readings. And we measured the soil penetration readings from 2.5 to 7.5 centimeter depth. The result here show the variables measures in this in all the sport fields and golf course tee and by treatment. As you can see here, traffic cover and goosegrass plant were higher on the traffic plot, and in the case of the soil penetration resistance was only different in the case of the 5 centimeter depth. Because the homogeneity variance was different, we decided to use the Wilson single rank test to measure the difference in the treatment. The conclusion for this first study was that goosegrass cover and plant numbers were higher in traffic areas than in no-traffic areas for the sport fields and golf course tees, and the soil penetration resistance was higher in traffic areas only at the 5 centimeter depth, but it did not reach the limit value at the, which can become critical for root growth. To determine the cell offset, we did two different types of experiments in glasshouse studies. So we have a growth experiment where both grasses were planted separately, and a competition experiment where both grasses were planted together. So I will review again. The objective here was the shoot and root growth compared with the Bermuda grass compared with the Bermuda grass and the control level of soil compaction. So in the case of the growth experiment, we have a factorial experiment was done in two runs. In the same summer, we planted at two different times. We used PVC cylinder pads and a navy soil was mixed with water before doing the compaction. This is the way I did the compaction. We have a joint ring here to the pads, so that allowed me to add more soil where the compaction was higher, so I can get all the pads in the same level of soil. And after every compaction was done for each pad, I dropped 13.5 kilograms at 42 centimeter high, and that was done for each compaction. For each pad, after they done the compaction, goosegrass seedlings were planted, and the estolon of T-white Bermuda grass was planted per pad. And shoot and root were harvest after 43 days. The treatment are showing here, it was dependent on the number of drops. So we have low, medium, and high compaction levels. And this is the average ball density values for both runs. As you can see here in the second run, my ball density values were lower due to a high total organic carbon in the soil. This is the result for this study. I have in the x-axis the root dryway and shoot dryway by the compaction levels. In the case of the goosegrass, we are affected by the compaction level and show here a negative regression in the root dryway. In the case of shoot dryway, only on the first run we are decreased by the compaction level, and this is probably because of the higher ball density I achieved in the run. But Bermuda grass didn't have any effect, was not affected by compaction level, and probably because really was higher variable and a very slow establishment, and if only 43 days this experiment. In the case of the competition experiment, the design was a randomized complete block with four replications, and I did the compaction in the same way, but this time I have only two levels, high and low compaction. And after that, I plant all the plat with the T-white Bermuda grass and keep it for four months. During that 4 months, they were fertilized and mowing, and after 4 months, 600 seeds of goosegrass were planted for all the pads. And at the same time, fertilization and mowing treatment were randomly distributed within blocks. So after that, fertilization and mowing was done. Fertilization was done every month and mowing every week. And the goosegrass emergence were beginning to be counted because I have so many seeds, some of the plants were really germinate a lot, so I began to seedling and I get to 5 seedlings for each pad. So this is the show on the ANOVA table for the goosegrass emergence and tillers. You can see the emergent goosegrass was decreased by the compaction treatment. This probably because of really poor soil and seed contact in the pad, and by the mowing high. A high mowing treatment decreased the emergence of seedlings, probably because of reducing the light on the seed. And in the case of the tillers, the mowing, high mowing determined a low number of tillers for each plant of goosegrass. The goosegrass didn't show any difference, that's why I'm not showing here this result. And this is the ANOVA table for the Bermuda grass root and shoot dryway. Here, the root dryway was really affected by high compaction, reduced the root dryway, and low mow reduced the root dryway. If you look on the shoot, the high fertilization and the high mow increase the shoot dry weight. And in the case of the interaction compaction by fertilization, a high compaction and low fertilization was decreasing the shoot dry weight. In the case of the root dry weight, these two interactions are in the next slide. And here I show the Bermuda root dry weights by compaction and fertilization. In the case of the first graph, you can see that root dry weight was enhanced by low compaction and high mow, and was reduced the most by low fertilization and low mow. So the final conclusion of this study was that goosegrass infestation was higher in traffic areas, soil penetration resistance was not higher enough to become critical for root growth, and both species were affected by compaction. So soil compaction did not give a goosegrass a competitive advantage over Bermuda grass to explain the infestation and the traffic. So with this, I can take any question if you have.
Questions for Claudia? I do have one. I'm just in casual observation, when we see a lot of goosegrass soil, that there's no other species there, and it's soil that is extremely hard, and we've done some limited penetrometer measurements, and that's definitely, so do you think that it's within the range that you tested, or do you think you can make a broad-based conclusion that the compaction is not causing the competitive advantage?
I have sandy soils, so it was not too much high measures, I mean high levels of penetrometer resistance. Maybe it could be different in a more clay soil. And we did also bulk density analysis, and we didn't have any difference in the bulk densities. It was the same between the between traffic and no traffic plot. Yeah. In the Bermuda?
Yeah.
Let me check here. This one?
Yeah.
No, no, I didn't get any. No.
Were you going anywhere with that question, Dave?
It's not listed as a source of variation.
Well, I just think that you didn't have it, right?
No, I didn't have it. Yeah. Okay.